Well, hello everybody, welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to the sound of my voice tonight. Here we are in February, Happy Black History Month, the month that is notorious for highlighting the achievements and accomplishments that have been made by people of color. To be honest, I've never actually subscribed to the Black History Month thing because it's kind of an ongoing learning process about people of color who have done things, who have invented things, who have come up with things, and maybe perhaps history didn't recognize them as the proper person who came up with such ideas or whatnot. But I don't think it should be just regulated to the shortest month of the year, which is February. But happy Black History Month. And it wouldn't take you that long to go out and find just any kind of example of somebody inventing something and they were not credited with it. For instance, the black guy that invented the super soaker, the water guns that all these kids are clamoring for have been clamoring for years. He actually just won his lawsuit in court for recognizing that the company that made those super soaker water guns actually owed him a lot of money because, you know, he came up with that. But anyway, how is everybody's week going? How is it going for everybody? You know what? I can't believe that the Super Bowl is coming up this coming weekend. Like, Super Bowl Sunday is here already. It's crazy. And I have to say, my enthusiasm for the game of football has been squashed a little bit. And it's not just because of COVID. It's just, you know, recent years. I think I'm at a time in my life where I really want to focus on my life and my family more than some stat that some sport player has. You know, it's always interesting to me people that can run down like a particular player's stats. Like, you're looking, apparently it's going to be Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Shout out to Tom Brady, by the way, being the oldest, I believe he's now the oldest quarterback to be in the Super Bowl, and he's still performing at a high level, and he's not with the Patriots, he's not under the tutelage of Bill Belichick, so that's a whole different podcast in itself. But shout out to Tom Brady, man, for just staying at a high level of performance. I mean, he's in a brand new team with a brand new offensive scheme. Some brand new receivers, some of the same, you know, Tom Gronkowski agreed to come out of retirement and they also pulled Antonio Brown. So he's got two people that he recognizes, but still, he's got a brand new coach, brand new offensive play calling scheme, and he's still in the Super Bowl. So shout out to Tom Brady, man. But anyway, I kind of decided that I could watch the sport for fun. I mean, basketball was already always my sport anyway, more than football. But I've just realized that, yo, like, people are running around here, like, for real, paying attention to other people's stats. And on this journey of self-discovery that I'm on, this self-improvement journey, I've just always valued knowing my own numbers, knowing my own stats. How many times did I throw for a touchdown in my life or with my family? And that to me is just more important than somebody else and what their stats are. So I don't know if that's like a maturity thing, because I know some guys that are still like my age and older and they still religiously follow football. They can religiously spout off numbers and stats and percentages of how many times this person succeeds in this particular situation. Like, all that stuff has always kind of blown my mind. Like, people really pay attention to that stuff. But anyway, we're here already. Super Bowl Sunday is this weekend, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the same experience, even though I'm still looking forward to the commercials, which to me has always been the reason to watch the Super Bowl, the commercials and the halftime show, depending on who it was. And you know what's funny, too, on my Facebook feed, I'm getting a lot of, actually on Twitter, too, though, I'm getting a lot of messages and kind of, you know, memories, because, you know, back in the 4th of February, I think, those years ago that Prince did the halftime Super Bowl show, I believe it was actually on the 4th of February, and I'm getting a lot of reminders of that memory. I can't even remember how long ago it was, but, I mean, what, Prince passed in, what, 2016? So, it's been a minute. And I saw a very interesting stat or poll that said that Prince's halftime show was rated number one out of like the last, it was like a collection of like 27 Super Bowl halftime shows, and Prince's performance was rated number one. And I thought it was crazy because Michael Jackson didn't even make the list. But it was a whole bunch of, other people. Anybody that knows me knows Prince is my man. His music was basically the soundtrack of my life. His it was crazy because songs that he would come out with at a particular time, it would kind of reflect what I was going through in my life. Now, I don't know if that was if I don't know if that's what really happened or if that's how my mind saw it. Because you kind of look for things that go along with your thought process. But anyway, I did listen to the man for the majority of my life. My parents listened to him, so I can remember hearing his music when I was a child, and all through adulthood until the time of his passing. I was a big, big, huge fan. So we got all of that happening on this weekend. I hope, not to switch subjects too greatly, but I hope everybody that got in on the stock game with GameStop and AMC, I hope everybody was able to get their money, take their profits, and run. Me personally, I didn't get in on GameStop, but I did get AMC, and I'm still holding on because to me that's more of a long. That's going to be more of a long-term trade as we're getting to the point where things are kind of loosening up and opening back up, and people are getting vaccines. The numbers are still horrible though. So, my wife's family has suffered some kind of devastating losses. She in a period of 10 days, on my wife's father's side, she lost her aunt, her uncle, and one of her cousins. So, I mean, the people that are not taking this pandemic serious, man, I really wish people would start to, Because it doesn't really care about politics. It doesn't even really care about how people think about it. Like, COVID is taking people out still in high numbers. But we're seeing a little opening. We're seeing light at the end of the tunnel, I guess. But it's just hard, man, because people are still suffering out here and still struggling. So yeah, man, shame on you if you're not taking this pandemic serious. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. But people that got in on the trade, I hope you were able to get your profits and get out. And I know some people are still holding. I'm still holding for one, because like I said, it's going to be more of a long-term trade for me. It's funny too how people jumped all over the Wall Street bets and thought that they were going to kind of make money like at the drop of a hat. But what people need to realize is that the information surrounding these stocks, they started, a lot of people started way back in March of 2020, kind of when the pandemic began. People started to look for things to play in the stock market. So people that are making all of these wild sums of money that you're hearing about, they've been invested in GameStop since like March or April of 2020. So this wasn't something that just happened in the last couple of months. This is something that's been building, like it is with the stock market, period. Something that's been going on for a while, and once the public catches on and everybody else tries to jump in, that seems to be where the problem comes in. I still believe that Robinhood and all of these other companies, these other bet not betting, I was gonna say betting, all of these other investment companies that restricted purchases of GameStop and AMC stock, they were totally in the wrong. Like, man, are there going to be any charges brought up? Can we have some investigations? Because that's still a perfect example of the people that have the money and the power manipulating things so that they can continue to maintain that money and that power. I mean, that was just, to me, that was just blatant theft that we saw right in front of our eyes. So anyway, I know there's a lot of people that's going to get left holding the bag for trying to get in on that deal late. But if you're able to get out and take your profits, man, good job. That's great. And everybody that lost, just let it be a lesson. Don't be scared of the stock market. Don't say that the stock market is a scam. Just take it as a learning tool, as a learning time, and figure out what you can do better the next time. So, that's what I'll have to say about that. So anybody out here keeping up with the series on Disney Plus, WandaVision? It's an incredible series. When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be just a little goofy television show, but man, the way that they are telling this story and kind of integrating it in with things that have happened, and it seems like they're giving us a really nice preview of stuff to come. I mean, just amazing show. I really love it. If you're not checking WandaVision out on Disney Plus, you're kind of missing out, especially if you're a fan of the Marvel movies. This is definitely a, you know how like when the Star Wars movies were out and then they dropped Rogue One and nobody was really paying attention to Rogue One until they saw it and it kind of blew their mind. To me, that's how WandaVision is for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Incredible show, guys. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I would highly suggest it. So, what that brings me to is the topic for this particular podcast. Speaking of Wanda Maximoff, aka Scarlet Witch, the woman who has incredible telepathic and telekinetic abilities, I want to talk about your mind, guys, how powerful and how important your mind is. And what I want to give you is three tips on how you can build mental toughness. Some things that you can actually do that actually work that's going to be able to increase your mental toughness. Now, first of all, and this is something I'm just throwing out here, check out Brain Reimagine. Take you a Brain Reimagine. That's going to get your mind right, your energy up. Let me tell you something. I've been taking it for a couple of months now, and the amount of energy that I have been feeling, y'all, I really wish I could put it into words. I wish you guys could experience this. So go on my site. You can purchase a box, you can purchase a month's supply, or you can purchase just a sample. The samples are like $24.95. You can get just kind of a taste of how you'll feel on it. Man, I tell you guys, this stuff helps me feel incredible. And for the guys, another little side effect. I'm pretty sure it was not intended, but it's happening. My libido is kind of through the roof, so I want to throw that out there for us gentlemen out there who, it makes you feel like you're 18 again. And if you're already 18, it'll make you feel a stronger 18. It'll give you that energy, man. It gives you that, make you feel like you can run through mountains. So go on my blog site, check it out, 9w6e.com, and look to the left side and click the button that says biohacking supplements. Or you can look for healthy brain food. But talking about Velaveeta's Brain Reimagine, that's going to help you get your brain powerful and strong. But let me take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to talk about some three actionable steps to increase your mental toughness. So let me take a couple of seconds break, and I will be right back. Hey guys, DeCourcy Williams coming at you, and I want to introduce you to my blog. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but you can find it by visiting www.9w6e.com. Of course, I'll have it in the show notes description. If you can't click on the link, just make sure that you go check it out. I want to draw your attention to the tab that says Biohacking Supplements. You know, biohacking is the art of taking a supplement and forcing your body to work at its best. And I have a particular supplement that I really want you guys to experience. It's called Brain Reimagined by Velaveeta. It is an incredible supplement that has me working at my best. It's healthy brain food, guys. So what that does is give you bursts of energy, improved mental focus, and incredible mental acuity. So go check out my blog today, and you can get some more information about how you can get your hands on some. Well, hello, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And this episode of the podcast, I want to talk about increasing your mental toughness. And I know this is coming right on the time where it seems like we're waking up from a bad dream. It feels like we could see the light at the end of the tunnel, even though there's a lot of people that are still struggling out here with this pandemic. They're struggling with unemployment. They're struggling with all kinds of things. And I know like depression is hitting people like crazy. By the way, if you feel like you need to speak to a professional, like please reach out to a professional. But for a lot of people, I wanted to draw your attention to three tips that you can use to strengthen your mental toughness. Now, think about how your mind operates. Our mind operates on the premise of keeping us safe and comfortable. It has no cares outside of those particular things. And when I say being safe and comfortable, it's like when we were being hunted by saber-toothed beasts, our mind had to see everything that it could as a threat and do everything it can to keep us safe. Now, our brains are still operating like that, unfortunately, even though there are no more saber-toothed beasts hunting us to this day. But our mind will still do things to try and protect us from what it sees as a threat. Now, the first step is you can use that threat to your advantage. Let me give you an example. Have you ever been driving? You've been driving too long, or you've been driving late, and you might be a little tired, might be a little drowsy. And you might even doze off at the wheel until you veer off a little bit and you hit that strip the strip in the side of the road to, let you know that you're over too far, and you just hear that loud, that boom, 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 and then you snap back awake. And then after that happens, it's kind of hard to even doze off at all while you're driving because you're scared, because that snaps you back into attention. You can kind of use that same thing by putting your mind under threat of something that will happen. So how can this pertain to you? So if you're trying to do something to improve your life, say you're trying to open up a business, or saying that you need to make sales calls, and you're feeling a little anxious about doing that, or you're feeling anxious about stepping out of your comfort zone, you have to threaten or make seem like you have to draw on that power of putting your mind under threat. Because under threat, our minds can achieve incredible things. I know you've heard the story about the really small, frail mother who found her son under the car, the jacket fallen out of the car, and the car was just on top of her son, and there was nobody around to help. And she lifted the car up long enough for some people to come and drag her son out from under that car. Now, any other time, this woman would not have been able to budge this car at all. But under that danger, under that threat, she was able to unleash her incredible powers that she actually already had. But your mind will keep that stuff dormant. Just like when you're driving and you hit that strip on the side and you snap awake, you're awake. That's it. You're at attention then. You'll be able to drive the rest of the way without any other incident. So you can use that imminent danger, that imminent threat, to be able to snap your mind to attention. So if you need to make sales calls, or if you need to step out of your comfort zone to do anything, put your mind under that threat to get its attention. Like, what would happen to the people that are depending on you, or that you care about, or that you love, if you did not make those sales calls, if you did not step out of your comfort zone to start that business, or to take that chance on this project instead of playing it safe? You know that your success is right outside of your comfort zone, but your mind wants to keep you inside your comfort zone. So use your power, use the power of your mind to draw up that imminent danger, to snap your mind at attention. You'll be able to solve problems better. You'll be able to focus better. You'll be able to draw on an energy source that you didn't even believe that you had. So that's number one. Number two, you want to remove all of its temptation. A good example of that, say, if you're on a journey to lose weight and you want to drop some pounds, one of the first things that is suggested that you do is that you go through your cabinets, you go through your refrigerator, and you go through anywhere else that you can and throw out any food that's going to be counterproductive to what you're trying to do. So you're just eliminating the temptation that's there. And then you go and eliminate the temptation where anywhere you hang around. Like if you're at the office and you've got snacks and stuff in your drawer, throw that stuff out. If you need to get rid of sodas, like, just don't even buy the sodas. Don't bring it into your house. I know somebody who has kids. This woman, she's a mother and she has kids, and she has a refrigerator outside in her garage. So when her kids bring other food in that's going to tempt her to eat and eat unhealthy, She forces the rest of her family to keep that stuff outside in the garage, in the refrigerator, so she doesn't even see it. It's like eliminating that temptation that makes it easier for you to focus on your goal. So in her case, she goes out and she buys the healthy stuff. She buys the salad. She buys the flax seeds. She buys the chia seeds. She buys the oatmeal. She buys the stuff that she knows that she's not going to have any other choice to eat. And those are the things that she has where she operates on a daily basis. So number two is remove all of its temptation. Unfortunately, our minds are weak. Our minds are weak and emotionally immature. And when we get in our comfort zones, we get in our habits, even if it's horrible for us, our mind will stay there. So get rid of that temptation. And number three, and probably one of the things that people I believe have the most trouble with is continually measure and monitor your progress. And a lot of times, the reason I say that that might be the most difficult thing for people to do is that it forces you to keep your attention on the things that you're not doing well. Now, it's very easy for people to do things well and they remember that and that's all fine and dandy. But I believe a lot of people don't like to talk about or bring up where they might have fell short or where they might have fallen down. We don't want to verbalize it. What we do is we internalize the disappointments and the failures and the sadnesses, and that's what we use to play over and over in our mind to validate why we think that we're not good enough at something. But unfortunately, what you don't measure, what you don't keep track of, it will never get improved. If you continuously try to sweep stuff under the rug, you're never going to conquer it and get it out of your way. So, how can you measure and monitor and track your progress? You can journal. Everybody's got a device. You got a notes app on your device. You can use your calendar on your device if you don't want to use good old-fashioned paper and pen. Me, I use paper and pen. I got notebooks. I have notebooks all over the place that I write down. I jot ideas. I write down things that I've done for the day. I write down things that I wish I could have done for the day. And I write down things where I try to do and I totally screwed it up. Right, that's a good measure of continually measuring and monitoring your progress. So, those are the three steps that I have for you. Number one, draw on your mental power to put your brain under imminent danger. And that doesn't mean to go out and actually put yourself in danger. That means draw up in your mind something that will shake your mind out of its normal daily routine to snap it at attention so that you can get to your task at hand. Number two, remove your temptation from your daily routine. Remove things out of your way that you know is going to hinder your progress. And number three, continually measure and monitor and track your progress. Something else that goes hand in hand with that is get you an accountability partner. Find you a tribe or a group of people that's going to help keep you accountable. So that's what I have for you guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. I also want to give a shout out to Velaveeta for their brain reimagined. I got to tell you guys, this stuff is freaking incredible. Even before the new year, I kind of started working out. I've started being more active. I've started changing the way that I eat. And I got to tell you, the energy that I have to work out, that's from the brain reimagined. Because beforehand, I wouldn't have done it on my own. Not only that, but I also realize that I have some health issues. I have some serious with some heart issues actually. And I've done everything like what is it, the changing of the diet and the eating different types of things and trying to go to sleep earlier and getting up earlier in the morning. The only thing that I have not tried on a consistent basis is working out. So that's what I've got going on now. That's the brain reimagined is really helping me out. And I've noticed that I step on a scale and, like 2 or 3 pounds have dropped off and, I don't want to start shouting that from the rooftops. Well, maybe I should, probably should, but I have lost a couple of pounds, but I'm really noticing clothes are starting to fit me different. Stuff that I had before that used to be like really super tight, they're not tight on me anymore. Matter of fact, they're hanging. So it's kind of this weird thing that I'm in where I don't see the pounds drop off as far as numbers, but my clothes are feeling different. And that's something that I can say I'm using to kind of keep me on that track. And also, man, like the big thing, my health issues, they won't be, they I won't get them under control unless I move more. So And that's also me practicing the three tips that I'm telling you guys. I've put my mind under that threat of my health, and I thought about how it would devastate my family if I was to check out of here early, and it could have been something that could have been prevented, you know, by something as simple as getting off my butt and working out. So, well, that's it, guys. I thank you very much. I hope everybody stays safe this weekend for upcoming Super Bowl parties. I know the CDC has recommended that people not have them, but I know people aren't going to do that. Just like the CDC was recommending people not gather for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, but people still did that. And I totally understand, like, people have to live their lives, but just be safe out there, guys. We are not totally out of the woods yet with this pandemic, so do what you can. Wear your mask. Try to stay distance as much as possible and wash your hands. I still go to the bathroom at the restaurant and I still see people just go in and just leave without washing their hands. I mean, come on now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. You just used the bathroom and you didn't wash your hands. Come on. So anyway, you guys have an excellent weekend. Don't forget, follow me on my various forms of social media. I am on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover, and you can just find me on Facebook under DeCorsi Williams. I'm actually on TikTok as DeCorsi Williams, and I jumped on Clubhouse too. Now, I haven't actually started a room on Clubhouse, but man, there's some really heartfelt and some real conversations going on Clubhouse. And the clubhouses that I've joined are, you know, about fixing families and destroying generational curses and leaving legacies and things like that. You know, there's a couple of Harry Potter rooms that I follow, but the majority of my time on Clubhouse is spent in the rooms where people are actually telling stories about how they are destroying their negative and toxic pasts and stepping into the future with brand new hope and brand new vigor and a brand new outlook on life. So I'm on Clubhouse. If somebody wants to invite to Clubhouse, send me a message. I got a couple of invites that I can send out. It's kind of weird being part of a brand new, like, kind of the beta testing of a brand new social media site and it's caught on like it has with Clubhouse. So, but yeah, I'm on Clubhouse, guys. Don't forget to check me out. And don't forget to check me out on my blog. I call it Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures, but it's also known as 9w6e.com. That's where you'll find out about my Wine of the Month Club. You'll find out about Brain Reimagined. You'll find out about these Dylan water bottles that I've picked up that actually make your water alkaline on the go. Got some incredible things there, guys. Hey, can't wait to see you there. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and I will talk to you guys in the next one.